Because then I asked you if you saw the gorilla, like it's a good test to see what are you attentive. It's not an attentiveness test. It's more if you're focusing on one thing.
You tune out everything else.
No, not at all. So you know, you understand what I'm saying? It's not that you could say to see as a negative. Oh, I didn't see. I don't see it as a negative.
It's validation and confirmation of the fact that I knew already that I don't notice detail.
That's not true.
Or I stay very focused.
That's right. Those are very different things. Some people are seeing the broader picture, and some people have an ability to. It's their phone charger.
What is it?
The phone charger. Some people also have an ability to focus. And when you focus on, my point was,
there you go,
when you focus on, that's right, when you focus on something, you can have the ability to tune out a lot of other things. And we're going to see that today, hopefully, in
like
the
right
parasha.
Right.
When you're not focused on what I'm talking about, then you... Nothing. Yes. So today I want to ask myself, I want to focus on one very, very small detail. It gets trickier and trickier as years go on. One small detail of why did Yitzchak go blind? Okay, and there's a zillion reasons brought down in the Midrash. And we're going to come up with a couple of other suggestions based on many of the Mepharshim going together. So we're going to start...
Is it also problematic that people just medically go blind? Like, does there happen?
He was the first person that... didn't just die, wasn't he?
What?
No. I didn't.
It wasn't part of your requirements.
Oedipus Rex? Oedipus? What?
Blindness.
Blindness means you can see. You have greater vision.
Physical blindness.
So we might be going there. Okay, I don't know. I haven't read it. Okay. Is it a long book?
No, it's a play.
Oh, okay. You English people.
Kaf,
Perek, we're going to start in Perek Kaf Vav Pasuk Lamed Daled. Perek Kaf Vav Pasuk Lamed Daled. Which is 26:34. Okay. Yes. Vayihi Esav ben Arba'im Shana. Esav is 40 years old. Vayikach Isha et Yehudit Bat Be'iri Hachiti. Vet bosmat bat elon hachiti. Okay, Esav is 40 years old and he takes a wife, Yehudit bat ve'eri. First of all, you think it's such a nice name, Yehudit. Oh, beautiful, right? Okay, I don't know. Some names they take off, and some names don't. Like Yehudit, I have a cousin named Yehudit. It's a beautiful name.
Basmat, right?
You hear
it in
these are Hittite women, the wives of Esav. We do, yeah. Okay, and bosmat bat elon hachiti. You know, some go through periods. You know, the name Yishmael. Does anybody know anybody who's named Yishmael?
Or Esau?
Call me Ishmael. No, not that's a different book. But in the Gemara, there was a Tana named Rabbi Yishmael.
Right.
You know, so like somehow names go through styles, I guess. But nobody would do it today. Anyway, so who did Esau marry? He married local women. As we all know. Vatihiyana morat ruach li Yitzchak ulirivka. And it was a morat ruach. Translation, morat ruach, mar ruach.
Bitterness
of spirit to Yitzchak and to Rivka. How are they supposed to know? How is he supposed to know, Esau?
The girls that he married or the fact that he got married?
No, they wanted to get married. The girls that he married. Why? We know from later on. Why didn't... The local Hittite girls. What?
They're
bad influences. Bad girls. Says Rashi, Morat Ruach, Lashon Hamra'at Ruach. Hamra'a. Kemo Mamrim Hayitem. It was a rebellion. Kol Ma'aseim Hayu L'Hach'is U'Li'itzavon. These were rebellious girls, and everything they did was just to spite their mother-in-law. Okay? I don't know what they did to spite their mother-in-law, but there was a Morat Ruach. Why is this relevant? This is relevant. Well, obviously, it tells us something about the personality of Esav. Okay? And by the way, Esav is not aware that this is a problem. How do I know Esav is not aware that this is a problem? Esav does not know there's a problem with marrying these girls. By the way, it's very interesting.
Was he even around? I mean, he was in the fields all the time. They're probably...
What, he just married them in the fields and came home one day and said, hey, Mom, look what I found.
When they were doing the mischief, he was probably out in the field and not necessarily aware of it. They might not have done it in front of him.
One second. Were the parents upset because of these specific girls, or were the parents upset because...
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
In those days, didn't the parents organize the shidduch?
No, not for Yaakov. Not for Yaakov. They sent him on his way and said, marry who you please. So only Yitzchak was made the shidduch. No, right. Only Yitzchak was, you know, because Avraham made the shidduch for Yitzchak. Okay? What are they upset? Are they upset about these specific girls, or are they upset about the fact that he took these girls from the Benot Chet, from the local women? The second one. How do you know? How do I know? What's that? How do I know? I know because later on, when Rivka is looking,
sends Yaakov away. Correct. She says, "You're
after the right after the whole ordeal of this of the stealing of the blessing." Rivka hears that Esav wants to kill his brother Yaakov. Hold your place here, just for a second. Turn to the end of chapter 27. Chapter 27, Chavzayin Mem Vav, Vatomer Rivka El Yitzchak, Katzti Bechayai Mipnei Benot Chet. I can't, Katzti Bechayai, my life is cut short. Katzti Bechayai, I'm disgusted by these Chet Chitite women. Im Lokeach Yaakov Isha Mibnot Chet, Ka'elu Mibnot Ha'aretz, Lama Li Chayim. It's like very...
Melodramatic.
What?
Melodramatic.
Like... Yeah, no. What did she say? What? Right, something like that. It's very melodramatic, you know. I don't. Okay, the women don't. How should we say it? Okay. Anyway,
mince words.
They don't mince words. That wasn't what I was looking for. Now skip a little bit. Skip a tiny bit. He sends them off. Okay. The end. Very, very end of the parasha. Chet pasuk chet. Perek chav chet pasuk chet. Vayar Esav ki ra'ot bonot kenan ve'enei Yitzchak aviv. So Esav sees that, you know, his father doesn't really like the Banu Kanan. Vayelech Esav v'Yishmael v'yikachet machalat v'Yishmael ben Avraham achot nevayot al nashav lo isha. So like, he clearly doesn't get it. It's something like, so he said, he doesn't tell that he gets rid of his wives. He adds another wife, and which wife does he, now, who does he add now?
Ishmael.
Ishmael's daughter. Exactly.
What's wrong with that? No, but why? Yeah. That's not fair.
He right,
sees that he doesn't like the
Kanani
wife, and so he tries to rectify the situation.
Wait, one second. He doesn't rectify the situation. He
says,
"Al nasha v'lo li'isha." You don't like these? He doesn't get rid of the other ones.
Well, he was going to take another one anyway, maybe.
That clearly is going to take other wives, right? So it's, how's it make it better?
Get rid of. You can't just get rid of a wife.
Avram did it.
He did.
Avram did it. How do you get rid of?
Yeah. Send
them off. They're called parting gifts. You know, like, nice.
Send them away.
But he doesn't do that. But it's just very interesting. So one gets the sense that Esav, he didn't know. He went to get married. He saw some, you know, he made a living in the area. He found a nice wife. And it's Morat Ruach.
You think his parents didn't say anything to him?
Why would you think that they did?
Yeah, it's so strange.
Why would you think that they didn't?
It doesn't say anything in the text. Just parents.
Yeah. Just say what they think.
But it says in the text, like when they
there
say to Yitzchak,
conversations that take place among the Abba that are not recorded in the text.
Right, but this
are
would
you
be.
Sure? You think that they said something? You
think, yeah, sure.
No, I think.
I don't think
this
they for sure did not
recorded.
Say something. Why would you say that? Before they got married, meaning they, you think they said it before, like
at the what?
I don't think so. I think she said to Yaakov.
I think she said it to Yaakov. I don't think she said it to anybody.
I think afterwards, maybe she kept her mouth shut because she didn't want to make this.
Yeah, why would he have gone to
Ishmael
if they didn't say anything about the first?
No, but they didn't say anything to him. He heard that they send away Yaakov. Like, there's no talking here. Nobody talks to anybody. Rivka doesn't talk to Yitzchak. They don't seem to talk to Esav. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's no communication going on at all. Yeah, it does. That's problematic.
It's an argument from
what?
It's hard to think that Yitzchak and Rivka, like the paradigms of holiness, spirituality, Jewish continuity, like
those are those are true things, but
they never ever said anything to their children about how to continue in the right way.
Stop right there. Let's go on. Save that thought. Parak Kav Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Next verse. Save that thought.
You're jumping ahead. Hold your horses.
You guys are like jumping ahead. It's fine. Vayihi ki zaken Yitzchak. And it was when Yitzchak was old. Vatikahena einav meirot. His eyes, tikahena, dimmed. His eyes became dimmed from seeing. In other words, I'm blind.
Is that like nara yiti gamza kanti lora yiti tzadik
meza? As I've left alone, neglected.
Not really, not really. The question is, tikahena meirot. There's a lot of ways of saying that you can't see. What is this language? Where do you find this language? Right. This is for your sefer shira when you figure out. That'll be another bar Torah of yours. Okay, because you have to compare in the language. Okay, the mafresh should do that in a second. Okay, vayikra et esav.
Wait, are you holding that thought, or are you asking for interpretation?
We're going to see a few interpretations. I'm going to before, one second. Let me finish the pasuk. Vayikra et esav b'no ha-gadol. Vayomer elav b'ni. Vayomer elav hineni. So he calls esav. Vayomer hinei na zakanti. Lo yadati yom moti. I'm old. I do not know the day that I will die. And we're going to continue. So the first question we have to ask ourselves, so the big question I want to ask is, why did he go blind? Right. Meaning, one could simply say, like Rashbam says, if you look at Rashbam very simply, Rashbam says, if I can find it, Tekena ina Rashbam min hazikna. He was old. There's only one problem. Problem is, he's not that old.
He's 40.
No, he's not 40. He was married, they were born.
He was 60 when they were born.
He was 60 when they were born, and now Esav got married at 40. So he's at least 100. But how old does Yitzchak live to before he dies? 100 and a lot. You know, it's got 60 more years about. I don't remember exactly, but it's got, okay. Yeah, what'd you find?
With Moshe when he died, lo chahata eino velo
naslecho. His eyes didn't dim.
Nice. Example.
Okay, so we have to start with Rashi, of course. We always have to start with Rashi and see why. Rashi, of course, it's a theological question. He's not that old. So you could say, well, he was blind for the last 60 years of his life, apparently. We don't know how long.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Okay. I think it might still be objectively old even if you only until 160.
Okay. 60 years is still long.
Abraham, after he was 100, had a child, waited 40 years, did Akedat Yitzchak, and after the Akedat Yitzchak, married off his son, and then married many other women. What? Other women had Bilakshim, had many children, sent them away, lived a vigorous life. As we'll soon see, there's a relevance there. It's a very interesting question. Okay, like we think of age now. It's very difficult to sort of make parallels. It's hard to know, like when they age. How old, if you lived 175, when do you start feeling old? You know, do your joints go bad at 160? You know what I'm saying?
Somebody can be very old at 60 and somebody can be very young at 60.
No, but he was clearly, Abraham was clearly old at 100 already because Sarah says, Adoni Zaken, when he was 100. And he was 99. She says, Radoni Zaken. So 100 was counted as old.
He clearly was able to have children, though.
He was still old. Old men can have children.
It sounds like transference to me.
What is that supposed to mean?
Transference. And he's old, which she really doesn't want to say. It's too hard for her to say. I'm old.
But he says Radoni Zaken.
Okay.
You want it? Wait. Here.
Look at Rashi.
When he's told that Yitzchak is going to be born.
Hal ben me'ayi valed, habat tishim tivaled, or something like that. Right?
No, when he says, he said, no, he doesn't say that.
He didn't say I'm too old. He didn't say I'm too old. He's excited. He's happy.
Right.
Okay. Look at Rashi. Vatichena. First Rashi. The Rashi gives three answers. And anytime Rashi gives three answers, it's like, whoa, you got to stop on that. Ba'ashnan shel elu. See the Rashi, everybody? Ba'ashnan shel elu. The smoke of these, in parentheses, shayu ma'ashnot u'mekatrot la'avodah zarah. Okay, these wives of Esav, of course, you bring the wives into the family household, into the camp. And these women were burning incense, and the incense was idolatrous. And the idolatrous incense turned Esav blind, turned Yitzchak blind. Comments?
There's a different meaning of blind. Was he physically blind, or did he just choose not to see what they were doing?
Well, I'm going there, but no, it says blind. But I think Rashi thinks that he went blind from the smoke of the Avodah Zarah. It literally blinded him. First problem you have to ask yourself, and that perish is, how is it possible that in the household of Yitzchak, there were these women offering idolatry?
How did he not choose that?
What? If that was really true, then, you know. Correct.
Because he wasn't ready to get rid of his son.
But if your home is not in many temples, if a person's home is
not in many
temples, if he's not coming to your home.
Yitzchak was so removed from reality. Yitzchak was completely removed from reality. After the Akedah, he was a person who, he basically lived in another world, both literally and physically. Like, he, Reina Midrash says that after he got up from the Mizbeach, his ashes were still on the Mizbeach.
Really?
His own ashes, not the ashes of the idol.
I never heard that one. Okay.
So, it represents that he's a person who was like both.
He's called, just so you know, the Midrash says, when Yitzchak in this week's parsha wants to leave and go to Mitzrayim, God says, don't go to Egypt, you have to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason Rashi says this is because you are called an Olat Temima. You're a Korban. Yitzchak was always a Korban. He was always, you know, he had that status, and that fits into what you're saying.
Those letters are Kate's high, like, end of life.
Huh. Okay. I'm learning a lot. I mean, very nice. So if you look at Kliyakar asks this question. Kliyakar says, how is it possible that Yitzchak allowed, we're not going to read the Kliyakar, this part at least. How is it possible that that Yitzchak allowed the idolatry in his household? He says, it's not that they were offering idolatry, they were offering incense. And they said, no, we're offering incense to God. But who knows what's in the hearts of these women? Who knows what they're really thinking when they're offering idolatry to God? So, like, on the one hand, you say, oh, that smells so nice, what is it? Oh, it's our incense, thanks, Mom. What's it for? To God. And she can't say, which God? Mm-hmm. No, she can't say which God, but she really, you know, and Yitzchak, of course, in his heightened spiritual sensitivity, he senses which God, and it's the wrong God, this incense that they're offering. You know, that's what Kliyakar says, to answer this question. It's a better question than an answer, you know. But what's the implication of the blindness? What's the cause of the blindness, according to the first answer in Rashi?
He loved Esau, and love blind.
No, not figuratively. No. Literally, what's the implication of the blindness?
The smoke
from the incense.
The idea that this negative influence, this poison, this spiritual poison in his house, caused him to go blind. Okay, now look at Sforno for a second. Okay. Vatiyena morat ruach, on the last part, pasuk before. He says, "Hayu l'ta'ar ulisak v'sakin mikotze ruach morat." See the word morat ruach, morat from the word ta'ar. Ta'ar is a blade. Ta'ar al kol b'saram. You're not allowed to put a what's it called? What's the word?
A razor
on your to shave. You're not allowed to do that. So it's morat ruach means. Mekatzer ruach chaye ruach Yitzchak veRivka. It shortened their lives. Okay, they had so much agmas nefesh from these women.
That's what she said.
Next, Vatichena einav. Okay, so he says the following: Kemo shekara leEli, shelo micha bebanav. It's exactly what happened to Eli. The language is the same. Kida amru velo cheha bam. Eli did not rebuke them. And it says about Eli, the Einav Kama v'lo yachol lirot. Eli HaKohen, who's Eli? The beginning of Sefer Shmuel, it says Eli had two sons. Their sons' names were? Anyone? Don't remember? No, not Machon.
No.
Right.
Chafni and Pinchas. Chafni and Pinchas.
And Chafni and Pinchas, they abused the priesthood. And it says that Eli didn't rebuke them. And it's unclear how they abused the priesthood. Some say they just used it for their own personal gain. Others suggest that Chafni and Pinchas would coerce women to they would coerce women to sleep with them in order to give them the korbanot they wanted. That's what the Midrash suggests. Like terrible things.
They would use a three-pronged fork instead of a two-pronged.
Right.
Fork.
The Midrash it's unclear what they did, but Eli didn't rebuke them, and he lost sight in the end of his life, and then he took on Shmuel. Right. About Eli, that's what it says. Okay. 1 second. No, no. He's saying those things cause blindness because it's a punishment because he didn't rebuke his children. Look what he says.
A punishment or a consequence?
Look what he says. He says, "Velo kara zela." I'm in this form if you have it. "Velo kara zela Avraham v'Yaakov shayu yoter zekenim mimasha haya Yitzchak az." Mimashaya Eli. He says, why didn't it happen to Abraham and Yaakov? They were older. But they never lost their sight. But Abraham, Ktiv, Yosef, Abraham, Vayikach Isha. It says Abraham, like, he got married later, Ubi Yaakov, Im kol tzarotav udma'ot einav. With all of his tzaros, with all of his cries, Ktiv, Yar Yisrael b'nei Yosef. Right? That Yaakov, in his old age, saw the children of Yosef. Af al pishu ro'eh bekoved, even though he saw it heavily. Ke'amro ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mizokin. Ba'ofen shaloh hikir atmanah prati. He says, why didn't they, he's implying, why didn't they go blind? Because Abraham and Yaakov took pains to educate their children properly. They did rebuke their children. They did things that were wrong. Abraham sent away Yishmael. And Yaakov, when he saw the children do things wrong, he would say that we don't do that way, or that's not appropriate, you know.
Oh, and that's how they sold their brother.
Yeah, whatever. But he rebuked them for it. He was mad at them. Whereas Yitzchak didn't rebuke Esav, and that caused him to go blind. It's clear that Sforno sees this not as a cause, but as a punishment.
Or a consequence.
From the Agmas Nefesh that it caused. Right, that's what he says. Okay? So that's one possible interpretation of the smoke of the wives of Esav, Ashnan Shel Elu. That's one interpretation. That's the first answer in Rashi. It doesn't really bode well. I mean, I guess it's an important parenting lesson. You should tell your children when they do bad things, but I don't know. I think it's harder as they get older. Right? Mm-hmm. When they get older, you have to, like, bite your tongue. Most of us here have young children still, but, right. The older you get, the more you bite your tongue and keep it to yourself. Anyway, that's one answer in Rashi. Go back to Rashi for a second. Davar Acher. This is the more famous interpretation in Rashi. Kishne'ekad al gabei mizbeach, v'haya aviv rotzel l'shachato. He's bound up on the altar, and his father wants to slaughter him. Be'otah sha'ah niftechu hashamayim. At that moment, at that time, the heavens opened. V'ra'u malachei hasharet v'hayu bochim. The heavenly angels saw this sign, this scene, and they began to cry. V'yardu dima'otehem v'naflu al einav. Their tears.
Of course not. It's angels crying.
Well, let me finish
their
translating.
Fears.
Their fears. Okay, their tears entered into his eyes. The fikach kahu
ena. Took that long for the tears to reach him.
Oh, what's that kid? What's okay. Your problem? What's your logical problem?
My logical problem is that he was a single man with no kids when he was put on the altar, and now he's got a married son, and now the tears are affecting him. The time.
So here's the problem. The problem is I don't understand Aramaic entirely well. If you look at Yonatan ben Uziel, that's if you have Yonatan ben Uziel. What?
I am choosing the gesture.
What?
I'm choosing the gesture.
Would you mind getting the gesture?
Sure.
Okay. Because I need to know what the word Sharyan means. So one second. Look, if you have Yonatan ben Uziel, see the following in the translation of the pasuk. He says the following: the Hava Kadziv Yitzchak. And it was, and you know, Yonatan ben Uziel is on Aleph. On Aleph.
Which word?
Sharyan. V'hava kavsid Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was Siv old, v'kahayan enohe milachame. And his eyes were kahayan, kahot, blurred, dimmed from seeing. Why? Dikad kafte avuhe. Because when his father, kafte, kfot, bound him, Istakel bekurse yikara. Okay? He looked up bekurse yikara. He looked at, what it means is the Shekhinah of yikara, of God. He looked into the essence of God. Visharyan mehahu zimna einohe lemichhe. And from that moment on, his eyes began to dim. I think visharyan means to begin, to start.
Well, shari is either to dissolve and soak.
No, that's shriya. Sharei. Okay, meaning that answers your question. That his eyes started to dim at that point and became progressively worse. Macular degeneration, we'll call it, or I don't know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? He looked at the sun, and the blindness began, and then it goes on and on and on. But this is based on another midrash that we're going to see in a second. That midrash says not that the tears of the angels fell into his eyes, and because the tears of the angels, you have to say what happened. Clearly, Yitzchak was able to see until now. How do I know Yitzchak was able to see? Anybody know? How do I know Yitzchak didn't go blind then? He wasn't always blind.
That's sad. Yeah.
What does it say? No, Vatichena inav mirot. He wasn't able to see when he was older. But how do I know that he was able to see before? Anyone?
He saw Rivka.
That's right. Right. When he's davening in the fields, he went out to the fields and he says, he lifts up and he sees the gmalim coming. He sees the camels coming. Okay, so he's able to see something. It's interesting, maybe you'll say he's able to see like blurry dots.
To start, it began. I found one that says that.
Sorry, okay. So it began. He said, but according to Yonatan Ben Uziel, it began even at Akedat Yitzchak, that his blindness began even then. Okay?
But it could also be, if you think about it, then it could also be a metaphorical blindness, because he was so overwhelmed by seeing the Shekhinah and being that he couldn't see the mundane in life anymore. He just tuned it out. So to the point that he got here, he couldn't necessarily see what Esav was
doing. We're clearly going to get there. I totally agree. What is the question I want to ask for all of you is, how do you understand the tears of the angels? Like, what do you do with that? What is the Midrash trying to convey by giving us this imagery of the tears of angels falling into his eyes, and the tears of the angels ultimately cause him to be unable to see?
That it was actually very chesed for him.
That he shouldn't see why? What shouldn't he see?
He shouldn't see what was going on in his house because...
Oh, the Midrash says that, clearly. That's another Midrash. The Midrash says... One second, I'll just... The Midrash does say, hold on one second. The Midrash does say that. One second. One of the answers. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Miraot bira. Why did he go blind? It was a kindness of God. Miraot birato shel rasha. That he shouldn't see the things that Esav is doing.
Which implies predetermination.
Sometimes, by the way, it just goes to show you, sometimes the things that you think are a punishment, you know, in the Midrash's eyes, are not always a punishment.
Well, I don't know, the fact that he's blind allows, say, Yaakov and Rivka to trick him, so that's not really a chesed, because that gave the wrong bracha.
Wrong bracha, right. We're getting off. We'll come back.
Yeah.
Again, somebody, tears of the angels? Anyone? Tears of the angels? Somebody's got to write a short story about this. Like, what is the... How do you deal with the tears of the angels? You know what I'm saying? They're crying, and it enters into his eyes, and it blinds him. I'm not sure exactly. When the Midrash says things like this, when it gives image... No, when it's giving an image, there's a literary image here. There's something they're trying to convey. They don't just make up a story. You know what I'm saying? There's a mystery. What are they trying to tell us? No, the angels, the angels weren't crying then. The angels cried at Akedat Yitzchak.
Were they crying
long before?
Long, long before. Years and years. 60 years. How many years before? 40 years before. 43 years. What is it before? 43 years before.
They could see Hashem in this way, and then suddenly there was this earthly being that could see what they could see. Was it a mean-spiritedness?
Of them? And that's the implication you get when they're crying. No. They're crying. The tears. And it goes into his eyes. It's very... I'm throwing it out to you. If you guys think of something, you know.
It's a direct connection. I mean, like what Shira started with earlier about the unique spirituality of Yitzchak. And you said that he's an Ola Tmima. This concept of that he has this, it's a physical direct connection between him and the Olam HaElyon. The tears from it's physical. It's something from the Olam HaElyon that comes into him in the Olam HaTachton. And from there, you know, which could possibly explain his...
Oh, one second. So then you'd have to ask yourself, but hold on to this, something to think about. You don't have to answer right away. How does that manifest itself in the blindness? If Ian is correct, and there's this direct connection, and the angelic part that was left from him, from Akedat Yitzchak, was these tears that caused him to go blind. Right. How does that a manifestation of his spirituality, of his heavenliness, in that
and
he's blind
to the realities that are going
his
on around him?
He was only able to see goodness, and if there was evil, he became blind.
He couldn't see it.
Because of this, what happened?
Huh. Okay.
Also, that fits in well with the concept of rachamim, that rachamim is a blindness to the bad.
Only one problem. What's Yitzchak's attribute?
Oh, it's not Rachamim.
Right. Yitzchak's attribute. Avraham is Chesed, which is Rachamim. Yitzchak is Gvura, which is?
Strength.
Din. Din is?
But that's why it was a Rachamim.
Din is Din. Din is what should be.
Because he would have given the bracha to the round kid. But the blind, this was actually a Chesed.
Let's go back to Rashi. The third interpretation of Rashi. Davar Acher. Davar Acher. Okay, the third interpretation of Rashi, Kedei Sheyitol Yaakov et HaBrachot.
In order.
Why do you think I just read it? You're absolutely right. But what does that mean then? It's all part of the divine plan.
Yeah.
But again, I mean,
it's all part of the plan, essentially.
Did anyone else think that he could have seen that it was seen that it wasn't? Even if he wasn't blind?
What do you mean? Even if he wasn't blind, he could have...
If one of your kids dressed up as another kid,
yeah,
and blindfolded, you couldn't know. I don't know. The physical blind.
And therefore what?
More than
and,
just physical blind.
Oh, so why was he... Okay.
He
was sort of oblivious.
Yeah.
Let's do one more perush, which is a little bit more disturbing. One more parasha we're going to do, and then we'll do something in Midrashim, and then we're going to go on, and we're going to go on a little bit more. Look at Kli Yakar. Those of you who have Kli Yakar, if you have it, on Aleph. Kli Yakar says something that's a little bit more troubling. Vayiki zakein Yitzchak v'tikena eina me'ot, says Kli Yakar. Lo yizkir lashon baba yamim. Baba yamim, says Abraham, baba yamim. He was getting on in age. It doesn't say that. V'sha lashon baba yamim mashma. Baba yamim, going on in age, implies she'or sichlo haya holech v'gover. When you're baba yamim, you become wise and you become more intelligent. Like the Tamidei Chachamim, the elders, that their wisdom and their intelligence grows as they grow older. As if they're coming from the darkness into the light. That youth and inexperience can somehow distract you. And as you get older, you become wiser and more intelligent. It's therefore, Amar kan Eitzel Yitzchak, but about Yitzchak it says, Shafilu le'et ziknato, even in his old age, tichena ein sichlo, miraot betachbolot esav. The eye of his seichel became dimmed to see the trickery of Esav. From seeing. Sharei ta'abo.
The manipulation.
From the manipulations of Esav. He made a mistake. V'hayat savur shahayat sadik. He thought he was white righteous. Ki lo hirgish b'marot b'rama'uto. He didn't sense his rama'ut, his deception. Alkein lo ne'emar baba yamim. Does not say Yitzchak was baba yamim, getting on in years, intelligence and wisdom. Rather, ki adaraba. Halach chashechim, he went in darkness. Ve'en noga lirot b'merot ha'emet, and he did not have the light, noga's light of seeing the truth. Be'inyanei hanhagat Esav b'no. Okay, I'm going to skip. Alkein, the end of the second next paragraph. Okay. Amar v'tichena mirav eino mirot ki einei sichlo larau b'tach balotav u'b'tachalot eino Esav b'no. He says, that's what the smoke was. That he really misinterpreted. He didn't see. He says, Vatichena einav mirot. He means, don't necessarily, they'd obviously take it literally, but also means figuratively. That he was not able to see the truth. He was not able to see.
What?
It's very harsh. I mean, it's surprisingly harsh in Kli Yakar. Okay? It's very fascinating.
What? He was told to send them away, but he didn't see them.
Anybody want to answer?
Sarah instigates the whole thing.
It's not clear that Avraham didn't see it. It's clear that Avraham didn't want to send it away. He didn't want to act on it. Right? He didn't want to send it away. Okay? So what do we have? I gave you one. What's that? How many Pevushim? One. Three in Rashi. Kli Yakar. Sforno. Rashbam says he was old. Six, Six Pirushim, and I'll read a couple of Midrashim. Just a couple of interesting Midrashim. First one, says a Midrash, Yitzchak Tava Yisurim. There's a Midrash that says, that Abraham asked, when, in Abraham's time, nobody got old. And Abraham said, it doesn't make sense, like, everybody like lived the whole life, and then you died like a young man. Like, you're 175 years old, but you look like a young man. And they said, Abraham Yitzchak looked the same. And Abraham said to God, this is not pasnish, something's not right. So it says that Abraham was zakein because Abraham asked for people to get old. And God said, okay, we'll get old. So you can blame Abraham, I mean, for the wrinkles. Okay. Yitzchak asked for Yisurin. Yitzchak said to God, it's not right that people should not get sick and not suffer in this world. Okay, and I saw a Pirush that says that Yitzchak was afraid. Yitzchak was in favor of Din. But he says, if you don't have Yisurin in this world, then all of your onish, all of the punishments of the things you do are in the Atid Lava. So he asked for Yisurin. And the Midrash says, what did Yaakov ask for? Anybody know what Yaakov asked for? Yaakov asked for sickness. Because nobody would know when they were going to die. So he asked for people to become ill before they die. It's a very interesting, fascinating Midrash. Fascinating. You know? So the Midrash says, Yitzchak Tava Yisurin.
It's like the Jewish version of Pandora.
What?
Isn't it?
The Midrash is trying to tell us that God created a perfect world without any of these things. Uh-huh. And that it was human action or human request that brought these evil things into the world.
Good. And so,
it's like Pandora.
The Avot asked for them.
But it had to be someone on the level of the Avot to be that,
to understand
form that partnership or to see that these things would actually be beneficial.
Right, to understand that negative is beneficial.
So that's what he says. He says, "Yibon kol olamim, Adam make below yisurim. If a person dies without suffering, midat hadin mituha kenegdo ba'olam haba." So then, when he gets to olam haba, then din is waiting for him. Umitoch shatamei v'yalav yisurim, ein midat hadin mituha kenegdo. And if you suffer in this world, then in the next world, the din is not waiting for you. It's just fascinating because it's his attribute. It's his din. Says God, Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, good idea. Chayecha davar tov tavata. Where should we start?
With you.
Let's start with you. And that's why he lost his sight. I think that's us, number seven, shot number seven. Okay? We saw the one that says that it was a reward in order that he shouldn't see Esav. Okay? We saw the ones in Rashi that said that the angel's tears came to him. And we also saw Yonatan ben Uziel. So this is a midrash it's based on. Jesha'ash ne'ekad Yitzchak al gabei ha-mizbeach. When he was on the Mizbeach, Tala Eina Barmarom, so he looked up to the heavens, Vehibi Beziv HaShchina. Lo Yirani HaAdam, what did we say? Lo Yirani HaAdam Bachai. So he saw some element of the Shechina, and his eyes became dimmed. Okay, that it's almost like you saw the sun. You look at the sun, your eyes become blind. And that was the Midrash that was referred to in the Yonatan ben Uziel that we alluded to. Okay, and then the last one we saw, of course, was a Malachi HaSharet. So how many Pirushim did we see? 8, 9, 10 interpretations for why Yitzchak went blind. Okay, I think the Midrash is getting at this, and all of you, I think, were leading into this. But what I'd like to suggest is, that's why I started with my cutesy video, is that we also believe that sometimes that our eyes, we allow our eyes, or we choose to allow our eyes to deceive us. That we want to see, we see the things that what we want to see. And so, like, all of these really tie very much into Esav, into Yitzchak, into Yaakov. Yitzchak saw that which we wanted to see. He saw, how could he not see that which Esav was doing? And maybe this is what Kli Yakar was suggesting. The answer perhaps is, nobody wants to believe that Esav is, you know, growing up in your household. Who wants to believe that your child is Esav? Who wants to believe that his wives are being the katrot avodah zarah? So what do you see? You see other nice young women. They're so kind to me. You see Esav is a... Yeah, but it's not kafzchut. Like, there's a fine line between being dam the kafzchut and just self-deception. So you see, oh, he's such a mensch. He always brings me the stuff that I want to hear. Such kibud av ve'em. Yeah, what about all the other stuff? I don't know what I'm talking about. My Esav is such a wonderful young man. You know, and so therefore you could see it was a punishment or a result. Like, if you take all these different interpretations, you add them together, plus the idea of the third interpretation of Rashi, that it was sheyitol Yaakov et habrachot. Why would Yaakov get the brachot? Yaakov could only get the proper bracha when Yitzchak sees the truth. And what's the only way that Yitzchak can see the truth? If the things that are deceiving him, i.e. his eyes, no longer work. And then he's able to see the truth through other ways, yeah?
I'm just thinking also, he represents the Midah-Din. Had he been able to see what was going on in his household, he would have had a terrible, battle with him, what to do about it, because how can you say in the way of Bakor? You would have to.
Yeah.
You would have to treat him at least in the most extreme way, the same extreme way that his father did.
Correct. So she's saying it was like a mechanism. It was a mechanism because of his attribute of din. Right? If you have rachamim, if you have rachamim, you can see a kid's faults and try to overcome them. But if you don't have rachamim, if you're a person of din, then the only way to deal with your child's faults is not to see them at all, just to ignore them.
But then what does he do with the bracha for the bracha?
You know what I'm saying? It's so interesting because all of these things, if you take all these perushim, they all sort of fit into one aspect. If you say this forno, right? This morning, he didn't rebuke his son. Why didn't he rebuke his son? So instead of rebuking his son, instead of trying to bring him the proper path, he kind of ignored it, but at the same time, it made him blind. Like, he couldn't take it. It was like it cut into him. It's almost like something's cutting into him, but he doesn't know what it is. There's something wrong, but you don't sense it because he can't see the thing that's right in front of his eyes. It's very, very powerful, very, very deep. And I want to demonstrate this by looking later on, and we'll see that what allows Yitzchak to see the truth. So we'll see that if we look at the psukim, you'll notice that it's very, very, very sensory. The subsequent psukim are extremely sensory, except for, of course, sight. Let's read on just to see the senses that Yitzchak utilizes in order to then give the brachot. Okay? Pasukim. V'ata, he says to Esav, Sa naka yacha ta'icha v'kashtecha v'tzei ha'sadeh v'tzuda li'tzayit, go out to the field and trap me a trap. V'asei li matamim kasher ahavti v'aviya li v'ochela. Bring me the food that I want. V'avor tevarecha nafshi b'terem amut. So the Midrash says that he wanted, like there is such a thing as simcha. He wanted the food. The food is, it reinvigorates, it gives us spirituality. We're going to skip now. Okay? And so we all know the story that Rivka heard this and she made Yaakov dress up and he's got afraid and et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Let's see what happens. Skip to Pasuk Yud Chet. 18. Vayavo el aviv, vayomer aviv, vayomer hineni, mi atabani. Here I am, mi atabani. What does that tell you? No.
He wants to check.
Or, not just that he wants to check. Why would you want to check? He sent Esav. He said, go do me something. Where's Yaakov, by the way? In Yitzchak's mind, where's Yaakov? Whatever, he's studying. He's like, drawing. Who knows what he's doing? All of a sudden, here I am. Mi atabani.
You're not Esav. I don't think you're Esav.
What? I don't think you're Esav. Something's wrong. Clearly something's wrong. Because why would you ask that?
Right.
So forget Rashi, he lies. He says, I'm Esav. Right? I'll give you the food, you should bless me. Right? The Lord your God came before me. By the way, who does that sound like?
Yaakov.
No. What would Yaakov say? Baruch Hashem, I was able to find this beautiful animal right away.
He
cried Hashem Elohecha.
Yeah,
it seems like Yaakov to me. Sounds like Esav. Vayomer Yitzchak el Yaakov gishana ve'amushcha b'ni. Ha'ata zeh b'ni Esav imlo. Let me feel you. Okay, focus on the senses. Vayigash Yaakov v'Yitzchak aviv v'yimishehu. He's feeling him. Vayomer, and he says, Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav. So now we have two senses. He's listening, he's feeling. And he didn't recognize him because his hands were... By the way, Esav must have been like unbelievable because it just
believably
hairy.
Yeah,
goat hair. Okay. Vayomer atazeh b'ni Esav, you Esav. Vayomer ani. I am. Vayomer hagishali va'ochla mitzed b'ni laman tevarecha nafshi. Vayagish lo vayochal vayavelo yain vayesht. What sense do we add now?
Taste.
Something, it tastes right. It sounds right. It feels right. By the way, that didn't say it sounds like Esav. Kol kol Yaakov doesn't mean that it sounds like Esav. It sounds right. It didn't say it sounds wrong.
Just because you're focusing on senses, there's no mention of smell.
Rega. Come kiss me. Vayigash vayishak. Vayarach et reach degada vayivarchehu. When you see this, you're like, whoa. And so you're saying, wait, what's the matter with the smell? We have taste, feel, sound, smell.
All those are heightened when you can't see.
That's true, but so what's guiding him?
Everything that he can use.
Okay, and then what does he decide to do? Vayomer re'ei re'ach b'ni k're'ach sader asher b'ercho Hashem. Rashi says, re'ach ha-sader. What is re'ach ha-sader? Well, the Midrash says, Rashi says, look at the Midrash. What's sader? What's the re'ach? What is the sader? I didn't see all the midrashim. What's the sader? Okay. Melamed she'ra'a lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu batei HaMikdash banui. What is the sader? What's the field of God? There's only one field that really belongs to God. Beit HaMikdash. That's one interpretation of the midrash. Others say that, you know, I'm not entirely sure what the other, what Rashi is alluding to when he says sader ha-tapuchim. Anybody want to take a stab? Tachat ha-tapuach. Meaning, but Gan Eden, that would be Gan Eden. It would be an element of the closest of God. And then he gives him the bracha. So meaning, the taste was right, the feel was right, the smell was the reach, he smelled right. Mm-hmm. And the voice?
Was not right.
The voice
was
is not
Yaakov,
right.
So if everything else is right, then the voice is right too.
That's right. The voice was also right.
That's right.
Yeah, the voice is also right.
He knew.
He goes by his... Well, he had to know. He goes by his intuition. Meaning, when you can no longer see the things that are tricking you, then you can see the truth.
Can I just add one teeny little thing?
Sure.
In your pasuk, Vayomer re'ei re'ach b'ni k're'ach sadeh.
Mm. Nice. Okay.
The sight is there, but not the physical sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it's a very powerful idea that I think we sometimes don't focus on enough. That, of course, you know, we know blind people focus on their senses, or they tell us blind people they have to focus on their senses. It's hard to know if they're more sensitive, or the fact that they don't have their sight forces them to focus on other senses more than people with sight. But we don't focus nearly enough on how much does the sight that we have, how much does it deceive us? You know, how many people, you know, if you didn't see the gorilla, you only see what you want to see, because you're focused on what you want to focus on, right? Which Yitzchak was until that was taken away from him, and then he says, "Look at all the other things that you see in front of you." And if you don't, when you begin to notice them, then you begin to see the truth. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that, and you know, in it's an abstract lesson, but an important lesson to be able to try to step back and say, "Well, what am I not seeing? Only because I don't want to see it." Or because I'm not willing to look at it. Yeah, you want to say something, Nikki?
No, I just think the fact that the smell was the last one out of all of these different senses, whatever, and it was the sense of the smell of Shemayim, whatever, Gan Eden, that it was, as you say, at that stage, the fact that he realized it was the call of Yaakov, he realized also it was Mina Shemayim.
I personally believe that, you know, it's interesting, the Midrash throughout all these years, it's so fascinating. Because the Midrash looks at the call of Yaakov and the Yadayim of Esav as diametric opposites. And I said this many times, I've said, like, we need a new parish for today. Like, it was always, the Midrash says, a call, kol Yaakov, a Yadayim de Esav. And which one is going to win? It's going to be the call of Yaakov, the call of Torah, or the Yadayim of Esav. And Rashi says that as long as the call of Yaakov is strong, then Esav can't vanquish him. I personally believe part of the bracha of Yitzchak was, Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim de Esav. The complete, this is a total aside, but the complete child is the child that has the kol of Yaakov, the kol of Torah, the kol of Yisrael, but is not afraid to use the Yadayim of Esav. You know, like...
Isn't that kind of Melech? Isn't that...
Well, the analogy I like to use is there's a very famous phrase of from Teddy Roosevelt. Anyone know what Roosevelt's
mantra.
His mantra was? Speak softly.
Carry a big stick.
Carry a big stick. That was his foreign diplomacy. Right? So, but we don't say speak softly. We say hakol kol yako. Speak in the name of God, but don't be afraid to back it up if you have to. And nowadays, that has especially strong meaning to us. To me, right? I don't believe in only a dime a day esav. If you think about our country today, we have yaday esav. There's no two ways about it. We fight. We fight with the strength of esav. But our true strength comes first from hakol kol yaakov. And the mistake is when you think that it's only yaday esav that's going to win. It's hakol kol yaakov v'yadayim yaday esav. And one could suggest, and I am suggesting it, that's what Yaakov realized. Right? He knew the kol. He heard. That's what Yitzchak realized. He wasn't tricking. He wasn't fooled. But the smell was right and the feel was right. And then the voice becomes right and he gives the bracha. Why? Because those things go together. It's not this or that. It's everything in combination. Yeah. And now we can appreciate that. Throughout much of Jewish history, throughout all of the exile, we had no Yedei Esav.
Part of it is because Esav is so vilified, so evil in the Midrash.
Yes.
That we would never know about Yedei Esav. And it's not from the Pshat. Not the best.
Right, not the best.
But he becomes the symbol of Resha.
Correct. Correct.
So it's hard to say, you know what I'm saying?
See, it's interesting. In Chazal's view, I understand them totally. Esav was the enemy. Esav was halacha. Esav sone et Yaakov. It's a halacha. It's an established. By the way, you just know there are others that argue about that. I think look today. If you look today, who are our greatest allies? Yeah. Who are our greatest supporters?
Today, but not last century.
How do you know? Is there such a thing? I think that you have to. I think sometimes we have to. Can we review the halacha? You know what I'm saying? Is it a halacha psukah? It's one opinion. Because in the end, it's a big machloket. Maybe we'll do this next week. It's a big machloket. When Esav kissed Yaakov later on, there's a machloket. Did he kiss him with a full mouth? Or did he bite him? Is there rapprochement or can there not be rapprochement? So how do you decide? You know, can they reconnect? In the end, Esav and Yaakov did get together again. You know, so is our ultimate destiny to get together. Nonetheless, this idea of a kol kol Yaakov, Yedayim de Esav, when Yitzchak was finally able to see, because he was his blindness was his sight. And when that was taken away, then he's finally able to see the truth, then he's able to give the proper bracha. All right, we'll stop here.